I'm the secretary for one of our local clubs in Waikato for powerlifting, which is, you know, quite a supplement-based sport, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Supplement-rich, shall we say.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of protein powders, pre-workouts, post-workouts and all that stuff. And, you know, we've only had maybe two failed a drug test. One was a pre-workout and one was cannabis. So, you know, even in a drug-riddled sport, well, you know, by public perception, it's actually quite clean. And what I'm talking about is the previous caller was sort of right. Like, every parent that has a kid playing for a sport under Spark normally get a code of conduct, another form that says, you know, it's a drug-free sport, and then their sort of personal registrations. And at the bottom of our registration, it's normally said, look, if you're under 18, your parents have to sign it. So the parents should be able to read that and say, okay, there is a chance our kid will be drug tested. There is a code of conduct to apply for. And that's across all sports that fall under Spark and drug-free sport.
Yeah. But do you think the fact that you do drug tests would be a deterrent for the people that do participate in your sport? The fact that there hasn't been any drug tests up until now, to me, leaves the door wide open for people to abuse that situation.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, it's a huge ban. Like, it's a 4-year ban now. It used to be 2 years. It's not just you're not just banned from the sport. So if you're a rugby player, you're banned from cricket, hockey, soccer, netball, anything anything you fall under. And it's not just first 15 level or senior A's or super rugby. You can't even play club grade, like in the senior B's or something like that. You're banned from all sport.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to do it to deter the drug tests. Like, you imagine like we had a guy from New Zealand who got second in the world champs with his overall lifting, only to be found out 6 months later that the guy that beat him was a drug cheat. Now that sort of happened to Valerie Adams, you know.
Yeah.
You take away the limelight from the guy that deserved to win, and they're never going to get that limelight again. So you need to make sure that the offence, the punishment matches the offence, that you're taking someone else's pride and joy away, and you're doing it by cheating.
Going back to the two people that failed, you said one person failed on pre-workout. Now this is something that anybody can go and purchase from a myriad of stores right the way around the country, and also a number of websites online. So this is something that a lot of people that are playing schoolboy rugby could be taking, thinking that it's okay, and it's not. There's nothing illegal in it. What was in it that was illegal?
From memory, it was called a 1RM, so 1 rep max. So, you know, you're trying to get a little bit more strength, and it's sort of caffeine-based. But honestly, I think, let's say, 30% of the stuff you can buy over the counter is probably banned in most sports because they have a lot of banned substances in it, you know. The best way to do it is you just, like, any lifter that signs up with us, we send them a little pack, say, look, this is drug-free sport, this is what we expect of you, call this number. They get a little card that says, this is the email address, this is the phone number, free phone number, I think it's 0800 drug-free, and all you literally have to do is email them saying, look, I'm taking, let's say, for example, Hawley's amino something or other. They have all that information on their database. They will contact you within 3 days to say whether it's legal or not. And then also, if you're really stuck for time and you want to do it pre-workout for a comp, you can actually call them on the number. Like, I've done it for some lifters beforehand. I did it for myself when I emailed them. I emailed everything I was taking or thinking of taking, and they sort of said, yes, yes, no, no, yes. You know, they're really good. And literally 5 minutes of your time. You don't even have to send them photos. You just say what it is, what you're taking, and you don't have to send them an ingredients list, and it can come back to you really, really well. So, and finally, sorry, those guys are talking about the 11 and 12-year-olds and all that, you know, showing their genitals to people. You are allowed to have a parent or an adult of your choice if you're a minor in front of you.
I those see.
Guys, I've dealt with those guys a lot. I've been drug tested myself when I was doing our powerlifting for New Zealand. They are some of the most professional people I've ever met. And also, you're not facing them when you're peeing. I don't know, I suppose you are if you're a girl, but they make you face the toilet, they give you a cup, and they stand behind, over your shoulder by the door to make sure they can hear you urinating in a cup, because some people will have someone else's urine that's clean and try to pour that into a cup.
Which is just extraordinary, really.
Yeah, and so, you know, and all they're doing is to making sure the cup, the the temperature gauge on the cup in a paper form, and the paper would change a certain colour, knowing that the urine is between, you know, I think 37 and 39 degrees or whatever it is. So, you know, this is a lot of fear-driven stuff, but, and to be honest, there'll be very few 15, 16-year-old guys playing first 15 rugby. It'll probably predominantly be 17, 18-year-olds. There might be one or two in each team, but you're talking probably exceptional players at best. So out of a squad of 30, you're probably talking one or two people per team, and if it's the finals, you're talking one or two people in the final getting drug tested that are under 16, 17 years old.